to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. I am so excited today to have you listening and being part of this program. It has been such a blessing. I get these wonderful notes and cards and letters, and that's why I'm talking to you on the radio, because I want you to know that I think of you all the time, just like God thinks of you. And I appreciate so much your letters. I read your letters before I even look at the donations. I just appreciate you so much letting me know how you're feeling, or how your praise reports are coming through, or even your heart cries, what is heavy on your heart. So thank you so much for joining. I remember when I first started going to lunch with Chris, the webmaster. He is so precious. He has become a dear, dear son to me. Yes. And we have lunch almost every other Friday. It used to be very awkward when I went to lunch with him, and especially when Kimberly was here. I didn't really say a whole lot because they were so technical at the table. But, oh, this last Friday when we went to lunch, it was such a blessing. He even called me and said, Barbara, I am so appreciative of you wanting to get to know me more. And so I said, yes, I love being with you. You know, he lost his father and his mother and his sister, no living relatives. And so Kimberly and I have taken up, he's a son and a brother now to us. So we need to get to know each other. Absolutely. And that's why I enjoy your notes and your letters, because I want you to know that I think of you and I pray for you all the time. Oh, you are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can go to freedomstreet.org, or you can go to Spotify, type in Freedom ST Radio, or you can go to 670KLTT.com/Call to Freedom. Go right into Crawford's website, and you'll see Barbara Carmack at Call to Freedom. So there are a lot of ways that you can listen every day. You can also donate on the website, freedomstreet.org. Our memory verse for this week is 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Oh, you are a chosen generation, as King James Version says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who have shown forth the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now we have not only God's mercy, but his wonderful grace. Praise the Lord forever. Before I get into our identity as believers, and I want to do that, it's just such an important thing. And Darren spoke of that in his booklet, 7 Steps to Inner Freedom. I want to talk about all this yelling and screaming in the United States. People yelling that Israel and the Jewish people should not exist. And you know what's going on if you listen to the news at all. It's called anti-Semitism. And it started, believe it or not, in the church. Yes, it did. And you may doubt that, but you can look up Augustine. You can look up into the 4th or 5th centuries, into the writings. There was theories going on and writings, and especially in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was really huge in the 4th and 5th centuries. And it's because they believed that because the Jews crucified Jesus, yes, the Jews spoke of crucifying Jesus, and they really did, even though the Romans went and actually crucified him on the cross, the Jewish leaders led to that. And so they no longer believed that the Jews were the chosen people of God. So here, all through these hundreds of years, all this anti-Semitism and this what we call replacement theology has taken place. And if you go to a church, if you attend a church where your pastor is talking about how the Christian church has replaced Israel as God's chosen people, leave. Leave. Because it's a lie. And it is a false teaching. And the church has not taken Israel's place. I believe that this teaching has spread for hundreds of years. And then when Hitler heard of this, because he was very well read, he decided he was going to do something to get rid of the Jews entirely so that there never is a Jew on this earth. And he went to it by a horrible way. So I want to just go to Revelation 12, verse 3 and 4. And it talks about the woman Israel. And a sign appeared in heaven, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns. He was thrown down to the earth. And Jesus speaks of this in Luke 10 when he says, I saw Satan as lightning fall. Then he goes into, behold, what authority I've given to you, authority over all the power of the devil. And he threw the devil to the earth, and the devil stood before the woman who was pregnant with child. That child was Jesus. I love the descriptions here in Revelation 12, because we think that this dragon has authority. Nah, no. He wanted to destroy then. He didn't, because God has chosen Israel. And God made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant was a forever covenant, folks. He would not let the nation of Israel perish, and he has not. And I want to tell you that when you go to the polls and you vote for a candidate, and here in Colorado we're going to be voting for a governor and lieutenant governor, I want you to look at their position on pro-life and pro-Israel. I want you to do that, because those are all important in that election, and elections all across the United States. Be pro-Israel and pro-life, and that will give us candidates who will serve well in this nation. I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord, that you are choosing and appointing people that are pro-life and pro-Israel, and we praise your name. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Woof, it's wonderful. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. We're going to start talking about identity. And it tells us that whatever we thought we were before, we are now who Jesus says we are. So before you were born again, you thought you were one person. And then you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And now you are what Jesus says you are. And in 1 John 4, verse 17, John tells us, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay. All right. That's what he says of us. So we must speak contrary to how we feel. Because, yeah, sometimes I don't feel very saintly. I don't feel, very godly. But religion says I need to perform to become righteous, when we are already righteous through the shed blood of Jesus. And boy, that took me a while to learn that. But friend, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Satan is trying to put doubt in our minds about who we are, but we must tell him, I do not receive your lies in Jesus' name. Then you say 2 Corinthians 10:5. I was telling some of the folks around the table last Saturday, when you see and think these thoughts that are not, well, those are contrary to what Jesus did. When you think these thoughts and they're swirling around in our minds all day long, you cast down every evil and vain imagination and every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does God think of you? That's all that's important to you. Not what people think of you, and not especially what the devil thinks of you. I remember a dear lady, she said in a note to me, she says, my friend, the devil. Oh, that got me so upset. I wrote her a note and I sent her a Bible. And we had many times of lunch and talking about how God loves her. And she changed her mind. She realized the devil was not her friend. And in that last part of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, I take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Christ knows who he is. He knew who he was when he went to the cross. Do you know what the knowledge of God is concerning you? He sees you as righteous. He sees you as redeemed. He sees you as sanctified. He sees you with his wisdom and understanding of the Word of God. You can look it up in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. In Jesus, you are wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redeemed. Yes, and redemption. Yes, so you know that you are in Jesus Christ, all these wonderful things. He sees you in all the attributes of Jesus. I want to take you to the booklet that Darren wrote, Seven Steps to Freedom, because I believe it's so vital for each of you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Darren knew who he was in Christ, and even when I met him and started dating, you know, he asked me out, and we started a relationship. I started a relationship with a man that I didn't think well of before, and sometimes we have to rethink. Now, I didn't think well of this person. Father God, do you want me to look over this person again and have mercy on him, show love to him or her? And sometimes that happens. Sometimes the relationships will never happen again. But I realized that when Darren met me, his ministry had gone, his home was gone, his family was gone, relationships were gone, finances were gone. But he knew who he was in Christ Jesus. Do you know who you are in Christ? Gideon, yesterday that I talked about, Gideon didn't know who he was. He was shaken in his boots. He was an Israelite whose country was being devastated by an enemy until God got hold of him and gave him a new identity. And then he became the hero of Israel. That was a wonderful, wonderful chapter in Judges 6. I will go to step three of Seven Steps to Inner Freedom, and that's finding your true identity. And if you'd like this booklet, you can call me after the show and call me at 877-917-7256, and I'll send you one. Or you can even email me at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org and tell me that you want the Seven Steps to Freedom or the booklet that I had offered, and give me your name and address, and I will send that to you. Darren says here, in the body of Christ, we have people running around with false passports. They have the wrong ID, the wrong identification. They've bought the lie. They bought a bill of goods from the devil. If I were to sit across from you over a cup of coffee and ask, who are you? What would you say? Would you say, well, I've been working at the same company for 30 years. Nobody appreciates me. Or, well, I'm the dumbbell of the family. I am the mess, the dropout. I've really messed up my life. That's a false identity. I want you to have a true identity. I want you to see yourself the way God created you and sees you, particularly after you've been born again and you have God's Spirit in your life. That's why I want you to acknowledge where you are with God. And that takes a time sometimes, friend. It really does. When we get born again and God gives us a new identity, it takes a while. I know we are a new creation, but boy, some of those old habits and old things are still going on in our flesh. We need to take patience and know that God is going to change us. He really does. He changes us. And Darren goes on to say, that's why I want you to acknowledge where you are with God and then begin to renew your mind. Most Christians are outer directed because they're going by the wrong passport, how they are perceived by themselves and those around them. They believe the lie. I tell people, you are who you are by the way you act and the way you speak. You act and speak certain ways because you bought the lie and you're acting out something you are not. So many people say, Darren, I don't know what to do with my life. They're getting the cart before the horse, because they absolutely need to know who they are before they can begin to understand what their purpose is in life. And that's so true. We try to figure out our purpose. I mean, and adults say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And we say a fireman or a nurse or a teacher. That's the cart before the horse. So we learn that growing up from tiny, tiny little children. And later in the booklet, Darren writes about discovering your blueprint. That blueprint is what you do in life. Identity is who you are in life. Darren goes on to say, I believe with all my heart, the only way you can really know where you belong is to know who you are. To know who you are, you've got to have a renewed mind. I want to remind you of the key verse in Romans 12, 1 through 2, for renewing your mind. Here it is. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, our merciful God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable before God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what we were created for, folks, to worship Him and praise Him and give our bodies as a sacrifice to Him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a new identity, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The Living Translation says it in a little different way. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. And it goes on to say, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yes, we're going to begin to think as God thinks. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Wow, I like that. So then to have a renewed mind, you've got to have a healed spirit. And that's why I believe in the sequence of spiritual growth, which I call process. And if you listen to Darren's programs, you will hear him say process often, because he believes that that sanctification that we go through is the process. Yes, we are sanctified in Jesus Christ, but there is a process of sanctification also. As you renew your mind by studying the Word, and that Word is coming alive in your spirit, love, peace, joy, it's the fruit of Holy Spirit found in Galatians 5:22. They will take up residence in your heart and suddenly will emerge as your true identity. Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so excited for you. Your identity is as unique to you as your fingerprints. God didn't go down the line and stamp you out with a cookie cutter. He made you uniquely different, yet you're made in His image and likeness. So as you renew your mind and that Word level begins to rise in your life, very quickly you're going to know who you are. You can educate yourself to do just about anything. That's not identity. You can play a certain position on a football team. If playing football is your identity, when you retire, suddenly you have no identity. Your identity or who you are cannot be in what you do, or you will at some point in your life find that you're lost in this world because you identified with what you did, not with who you are. You may be a mom. And when those children grow up and leave home, will you collapse and be in deep depression? Oh, some women are, folks. Oh, don't think that because your children have left, you have lost out. You will be in depression if your identity has been in those children. For so many of you will face retirement, and you believe your work is who you are, and when that time comes, then what will you say about who you are? The enemy will be able to bring fear and frustration and anxiety into your life at retirement, when it should be blessed times in your life. So much illness and especially heart attacks occur right after retirement for so many people. I don't want to hear that that has happened to you. We sometimes get our blueprint or what we do confused with our identity. Here it goes, folks. This is so important. Your true identity only comes out of God's Word. Your true identity comes out of God's Word. Gideon wound up to be that outstanding hero of Israel. Remember when God came to him, the angel of the Lord, and he said, oh, do not be afraid, you mighty man of God, you mighty hero for the Israelite people. No, he didn't believe that at first, but then God took him through several steps, and he became the hero of Israel. Oh, praise God. Gideon wound up to be that outstanding hero, and he delivered his people, his country, from the hordes of Midianites with torches and pitchers. Oh, Gideon did this part of what God told him to do. He did his part of God, what God told him to do, and God confused the Midianites with great fear, killing each other and fleeing to another country. You can go to freedomstreet.org, hit resources and radio shows, go to August the 10th. August the 10th is about Gideon, and that will be such a blessed half hour for you. And here they found out that when Gideon did what he was supposed to do with his 300 men, with gourds, with torches and pitchers, then God did the rest. He brought fear and confusion into the Midianite hordes, and they fled. That's victory, folks, and having God on your side. Let me give you some scriptures on your true identity. You're going to appreciate this. And you can take this down. Go to freedomstreet.org, and that's how you do it. You listen again. Take down Romans 6, verse 11. I'm sorry. Romans 6, verse 11. Reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Ephesians 4, 24. And put on the new self. That's your identity, which is the likeness of God, which has been created in you in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Colossians 2:10 says, and in him you have been made complete. You are complete in him with a new identity. 1 Corinthians 1:30. This is a scripture that I gave to you earlier. In him, in Christ Jesus, you have wisdom from God, redemption, sanctification, and righteousness. You can go boldly into the throne room of God because you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you can stand before God without a sense of fear, guilt, inferiority, condemnation, or unworthiness. All these behaviors Gideon had before the angel of the Lord transformed him into the hero for Israel. And that's what we do. We don't try to become somebody we're not. We obey God, and he transforms us into the person that he wants us to be. We do have the cart before the horse, don't we? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God sees us as righteous. He sees us when we are born again, when we become that new creation. God sees us as righteous before him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's get rid of that old mindset. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's drop it right now. And our verse for this week fits into who you are in Christ Jesus. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, once you had no identity, friend, you thought that what you did was your identity. Uh-uh. No. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Oh, and praise God, his grace. And 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. In 1 John 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we are called children of him. Oh, it's so important for you to learn this. It really is. New Testament scriptures on peace. Because I believe that when we see God as Jehovah Shalom, our Prince of Peace, then we can show this peace to other people. We can allow them to see us as peace. When we walk into a room, or when we walk into an area with other people, they sense something going on. Something different is going on. And that's what we have. We have God's peace. And here it is in John 14, verse 27, that Jesus spoke to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that's what God said to Gideon. Don't be afraid. I'm going to go before you. I will do this for you. Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Here the title is linked to a victory that he has given to us by crushing Satan under our feet. God's going to do it, portraying God as the ultimate source of peace that overcomes evil. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. This verse connects God's peace with reconciliation and communal harmony. You want harmony. Yes, you do. And you want harmony in your family, in your home. You want reconciliation and restoration. For those of you who have broken homes, you can realize peace and restoration and a new home and a new family. Praise God. Thank him for what he's going to do. Don't try to bring that restoration yourself. God is the one who does that. Ephesians 2, verse 14, he is our peace, who has broken down every wall of division in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Remember, 1 Corinthians 1, 30 tells us that in him we have sanctification. We are sanctified, made pure and holy. Oh, and I know sometimes you're not feeling holy, but overlook the feelings. Overlook the feelings. Hallelujah. So may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. This is a prayer for complete sanctification, so showing God is the source of spiritual peace. And Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, in eternal covenant, brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, equip you with everything good to do his will. Oh, this is Paul telling us, linking us to God's peace of empowerment and power and joy everywhere we walk, everywhere we go, all things that we talk about. He is going to be with us. Oh, praise God. I'm so glad you joined me today. It's been a true blessing to be with you, to fellowship with you. I know in spirit, you're not across this table, but oh, you are with me in spirit and in truth. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.